So, hi everyone. I'm here to talk today about Clang, LLVM, and GNOME. It may look a bit unrelated, but you guys are going to see the connection later in the talk. So my intention here is to explain a bit about what's LLVM, what's Clang, what's the fuzz about this compiler technology is about. And I hope my intention here is not to get deep into compilers, because we just had lunch and you guys may fall asleep while talking about like low level stuff. I don't know. People usually don't like very much to go into those details. So I'm trying to be as much as possible in some sort of a high level abstraction so you guys can just feel how Clang and LLVM works. And that's the general idea that I want to pass to you guys, how it works. So first of all, what's LLVM? So LLVM is the name of the whole compiler infrastructure, which is composed by a compiler front end, an IR, and several tools to emit assembly code for backends. It has assembler, disassembler, it has a JIT engine inside. And we call the whole framework LLVM, but LLVM is also the name of the IR level of this compiler. And it's also the name we give to the bytecode, which is actually the same as a bytecode, but in the LLVM world, we call it bytecode. So with LLVM, you can drive like static compilation just as you would in GCC. So for example, you can a regular command line that one would use in GCC, you can issue the same command line, but just replace GCC by Clang, and it should use the same results. So for example, for a C source code, you pass it through Clang, and you can emit the direct executables because it has an internal assembler, or it can also emit regular assembly files, and you can pass it through binutils and have your regular object files for your architecture. Besides that, you can use it as some amount of decouple tools. So for example, you can invoke the for the C code, you just use Clang to emit LLVM IR, which I told you before, we call it bytecode. And from the bytecode, you can do several different types of manipulations. You can run optimizations on the bytecode, you can emit assembly files, you can emit object files, you can link bytecode together, you have all sorts of operations you can do on the LLVM IR. So, in this example, we generated, for example, the IR using the Clang, and then we can run several different optimizations and pass it through LLC tool, which is the tool we use to emit assembly and object files. So every part in LLVM has a library. So you have like specific tools which use specific libraries, and this way you can only use whatever you want. You can ship bytecode, for example, and then you can compile it to your sub-architecture the way you want, using optimizations you want. So it's good because you can do several tricks by decoupling the compiler parts. So why to use LLVM? First of all, it's open source. And I think it's good because we can have several options. It's not here about being better than GCC. It's just a different option. It has different features and different interesting problems it solves that it makes a good choice to use. So it's just about one more option that can be used to develop several different stuff using the LLVM compiler. So it's easy. It's quite easy to get stuff inside the LLVM if you need to tweak the compiler, and it's not a very steep learning curve. It's easy to use it as a library to contribute to the project, and the community is very receptive to newcomers, so it's quite exciting to be contributing to LLVM. So besides that, since we have several different, the compiler is decomposed in several different phases and libraries, you can do optimizations in all phases of the compiler. So as GCC does, you can do compilation during compile time, just running regular optimizations on the IR. You can do it on link time, just running bytecodes together. I'll tell more about that later. And you can do it in runtime. It has support for profiling, so you can do profiling-oriented optimizations. And besides that, there's like tons of analysis passes and transformations passes which will play with the bitcode in several different ways and make it suitable for whatever type of optimizations someone wants to play with. So besides that, the Clang frontend to LLVM, which is also the name for the driver, it has lots of libraries implementing tools to automatically find bugs and stuff like that. So besides using it as a compiler, you can use it as tools to check for the correctness of your code. I'm giving more examples about that a bit later in the talk. So just being more specific about the tool so you can actually understand a bit of the idea. So it's written in C++. I know people may don't like C++, but for LLVM, it's a quite good language to develop the compiler. And using the abstractions and everything like that, as I told you before, it's written in, you have several different libraries and you can use the libraries in the way you want to use them. And I already told about this. So the front end is basically, you can use a front end which is GCC based with the new support for, not quite new, but with the addition of plugin support in GCC, you can usually GCC to generate LLVM IR, and then you use the regular libraries and tools from LLVM to actually generate object code or executable code. So you can actually use GCC to generate LLVM IR and make good use of both optimizations from GCC and optimizations from LLVM. So the plugin is called DragonEgg, and you can just run it through GCC, and you get LLVM IR, and then you can just use regular LLVM tools. So, but besides that, we have the Clang compiler, which is also built into this library approach. It's good because since the design is a bit modern, you don't have like to struggle with generating cross compilers. There's everything dynamic. If you want to generate binaries for ARM, for example, you just need to pass the right knobs in the command line, and you get like an ARM binary. You don't have to. Of course, you need to have like ARM libraries and all the other toolchain support around it. But if you have it, it's just a matter of changing the knob, which architecture you want to generate code for. So this is the good thing about like the very decomposed library approach of LLVM. Besides that, LLVM is also known for emitting good diagnoses about your code. So especially when you're programming in C++ and you're messing with templates and when things get really dirty, I rather use Clang to compile stuff in C++ than using GCC when I want to understand a bit better of what's happening with really deep compilation errors and stuff. Because it really provides good diagnostics and you can go the tree up and see whatever your macro is screwing up stuff or whatever your template is expanding in weird ways. And besides that, you also have a static analyzer, which is really good to check up on the correctness of your code to help in automatically finding bugs. So I'll hit the static analyzer a bit in the end of the talk. Besides that, like I told you before, the optimizations in LLVM, you have like, since we have optimizations in the whole lifetime of the compiler, we can apply optimizations to the IR, which is the most obvious place to put the optimizations because you don't have to write optimizations specific to a target or specific to a backend. So every optimization that it's target independent, we can place here. So for example, if you wanna have some sort of generic bit code that we can transform in more specific architecture bit code, we can apply optimizations here and leave it there just so when we're emitting for a certain target, we can apply several different optimizations later. So for example, you can apply optimizations for vectorizations for x86, for example. And then whenever you have the bit code on your CPU, if your CPU only have SSE, it can emit SSE. If it has AVX, it can use more stuff to reason about the size of vectors and emit AVX properly. Besides that, we have the LC tool, which is the tool responsible for actually invoking the backends. It uses the IR as the input, and it outputs assembly files or object files. The LVM has tools to both assemble and disassemble code, and we also have a parser. So, for example, when you are writing C code and you use ASM inline code, it actually invokes the assembly parser to parse the inline ASM, and it can reason about the assembly code you wrote inside the C code and give you proper diagnostics. And, or actually, you can write optimizations that will just change instructions inside the ASM line, or just reason about constraints that you couldn't reason about because the code was complex. It can also reason inside the ASM line and give you proper feedback. So you can also use assembly file as input and generate object files and then link them together. You can play around in the way you want. So other tools that we have is that we also have the JIT compiler, a JIT compiler inside that is supported for several architectures. And we have the libLTO, which is used to link bit codes together. And like I told you guys, we have assembler and disassemblers and several different tools to play with object code and mess around with the low-level stuff. So how does that relate to GNOME at all? So that's what I like to introduce and give you how can GNOME can benefit from Kang and LLVM, how it can start using it to, I don't know, improve in several different ways, because there are lots of tools in LLVM that can be used in GNOME to improve development and stuff. So first of all, GNOME already uses LLVM and client libraries in some projects. I don't know much if there are more than two projects using it, but those ones are the ones that I looked it up and I found that we're using it, like LLVM Pipe, which I was already aware of it, and we have the developer over there, if someone wants to talk with him, which is actually a software render using LLVM. Whenever you don't have like a specific GPU to do graphics, it can fall back to using whatever your CPU has to process that, and it's a good fallback. Besides that, I saw that there's a plugin called GAJIT Code Assistant that would use Clang to just give hints to someone programming stuff and giving like errors during the programming, like fancy IDEs do. And since GNOME is like an umbrella for several projects, I was playing around in the Git repositories and with GNOME tools, and I stepped into the JH build and OS3 and all the build bot stuff that it's meant to be supported, and I was thinking like, why not? They can use the static analyzer, for example, or just build the whole code base using Clang and see what type of difference it can make in the final executables. It may be that for some binaries it would be slower than GCC, but for someone it would be better. I don't know. It's just something that I think it should be given a try. So I think, for example, JHBuild and OS3 can benefit from trying to use Clang. So other stuff that I think that the GNOME project can benefit from LLVM is for the ARM backend, for example, for running GNOME 3 on Nexus 7, it will be a good try to compile it using Clang. Besides that, using LLVM LTO to have like smaller final binaries, which I will explain, static analyzer and some tools that you can dynamically explore several different types of bugs, like the address and the memory sanitizer. So the ARM backend, LLVM has a very stable ARM backend, which emits really, really good quality code. It is Apple uses it for compiling iOS applications In the Xcode, Xcode is all based in Clang and uses the ARM backend to generate code for them. So it's pretty stable, it's pretty optimized. And it also supports the most recent processors, all the ARM v7 family of ARM processors. And besides that, for example, LLVM pipe could use the ARM backend to generate, it already does if you want to generate ARM code, but it could be, for example, more optimized. So if you think in a case that if you want, for example, to have GNOME running on ARM devices without specific GPUs, for example, you could use just regular vector instructions from the ARM instruction set like Neon to generate bad code and better code, and actually has a good fallback for software rendering, for example. Another thing is the LVM LTO. In a regular compiler, when you're linking stuff, you usually come from C code. You generate object codes for each different source you have, and then in the end you link all of them together, or you put it on an archive and then put it on the final executable ladder. That's how usually a compiler flow works. But with LVM and the bytecode representation, what you can do is that you can first emit bytecodes, just invoking Clang and asking it, oh, don't emit object codes directly, just emit bytecodes. After that, you can mix all bytecodes together and have a final module. In that final module, you can actually apply several different types of optimizations, like I told you before, including link time optimization, so you can remove several functions that are not being used inside that module, because it can reason since everything is inside there. So you can use like intra-procedural stuff, optimizations, and actually you can do a lot of stuff doing it. And then you just invoke the backend for the final module, and you have your final executable. So this sort of decoupling, decoupled reasoning in the compiler, it's pretty good code. So I think probably some projects in GNOME can just tweak in a bit of the makefiles to just generate bytecodes instead of object files, and then during linking, link all bytecodes together, apply link time optimizations. I don't know. It maybe can benefit lots of projects. I would give it a try. So the static analyzer, it's basically a source code processing tool based on Clang that will try to reason about your code and give you information about if you have bugs in your code, what sort of like not only bugs but stuff that you could have not done in the code that will improve it or just remove useless stuff that you're doing in your code. So it's really good because it actually can save you time debugging later because it can catch all sorts of bugs. It's not perfect, but it helps a lot. So, and you can also do it, use it for do some sorts of I can say that word. Automatization, yes, you can do to use that. And that's why I think it's good to put it in stuff like BuildBot, because whenever you already have to build the whole tree of Git projects, at the same time, you can just do it using the static analyzer, and you just have a bunch of information of every project you're compiling, and you can use that to somehow track regressions to see if some sort of critical bugs are not happening between one revision and another, or at least before releasing stable releases, you can run them and see if there's nothing critical being released to the public. Oh, since it's library based, it's just a matter of importing, use the library and implement your own analysis. Yeah, you have the.
Say I wanted to make a plugin that checks that you are passing the correct type of callback when connecting G-object signals. How difficult would it be to do that?
I can tell you for sure. it wouldn't be much difficult because you already have all of those. You have already have analysis that will all come the AST trees. So you could probably use code that is already there to do whatever you want specific. You know, so it shouldn't be difficult because you have a framework for doing that. It's already there. I can't tell you exactly how to do it, but it's not difficult. Oh, I think right now you actually have to compile it. I'm not sure if we have like this libclang stuff and we have like the tooli stuff that you can actually write plugins. But for example, for the specific type of plugin that you may like to write, I don't know which is going to be the best place to implement it. You know, because you have like several in Clang. We have right now three places that you can hook in and implement analysis. So some stuff you can just invoke your dynamic compiled analysis and will just pass through it. But for some other stuff, you'd have to hack into the compiler to do it. That's what I'm saying. Just you can have several hook points, but not all of them you can just pass a plugin as a parameter.
So it could be hard.
It could be, yeah. I don't know. We can see that later after the talk, and we can try to figure something out. But we have like several different interfaces that we can plug in analysis in Clang. So the static analyzer also helps with improving code quality, since you're there like having a direct feedback of what sorts of mistakes you're doing in your code. It also has false positives because it's not a perfect tool. So sometimes it will say that it looks like it has a bug, but the problem is that the compiler is just not smart enough to see that you already checked something before and it's actually a false positive. But in general, it works. And you can also report bugs and tell, oh, I found this sort, please improve this. Or send a patch yourself improving it. And of course, the compilation is a lot slower using the static analyzer. But you shouldn't be using it to produce like production code. You just like do separate compilations so you can see your analysis and then impact on your build bot time and stuff like that. So to use the static analyzer is pretty simple. Once you have Clang installed, you have like packets for Ubuntu. I don't know about Fedora, but for Ubuntu you have, and it ships with the scan build tool. And the scan build tool, you just pass it before configure and before make, it will hook up and just hijack in the middle and make it use Clang tools instead of the regular compilers and analyze your code. And then you'll just emit several HTML reports telling you about all sort of different bugs. So I analyzed a few of GNOME projects from git.gnome.org. to see how they would react with the static analyzer and what sort of bugs we could find, so I just put it on the web, and I have done for just a few that I was seeing people talking about in other talks, and I chose a few projects just to show you a bit how does it works. So, for example, I put it on Glade to see how the source code of Glade is regarding the bugs, and at least bugs that the static analyzer can find. And I found that it's pretty clean. It only had a few logic errors, like a few difference of new pointers, some uninitialized argument values. But I found it pretty clean compared to other projects I've run into. So you can have an idea. For example, dead store is actually not a problem, but it's just something that you could avoid. So you could have like a bit smarter code and a bit faster code, and it keeps tracks of that. So once you see this is like an HTML report, and you can click on the several different dead assignments. You can, if you go there, you can go on the link. You can actually see the full report, and just go around and see the types of errors. So for example, for a random dead assignment in Glade, it will just show you, oh, the variable source list is never read after this attribution. So there's no point in just doing this. You can just remove this code and probably make your code a bit faster. It can actually sometimes be a false positive because sometimes it may not perfectly reason about what the function is returning, but in general it works really well. So that's one of the example for Glade. I also run it to GStreamers, to GStreamer, and that's what is interesting because of all the projects I run into, GStreamer and the GIMP toolkit, GTK was one that have like division by zero. So I found like 7 division by zero in GStreamer. So if you go to see the report to see how it generates, how it shows you the bug, it's very cool because, for example, it will show you the steps and it show you which branch it took to get into that point and which sort of condition it assumed to take the branch. So for example, in this case, it will see like in the first, here in this function, it can see that the step, because of the implementation of the function, you can also click on that and see the implementation of the function. It see the step may be zero. And if you follow the code, assuming, for example, that vol is greater or equal than mean, that could yell a division by zero and your code is broken. So it's good to find those simple stuff that sometimes just yield like really weird bugs and you don't know what's happening. So I also did it for the evolution data server because the static analyzer can also show you problems that it considered like security issues. So for example, here we had this a issue with the SETI UID, so I was like, oh, so this is evolution data server, and it has like a security issue with a very important function that may lead to privilege escalation. So I just went there to see what was happening. But if you look it, you're going to see that the SETI UID is just used before the actually SETI UID that is considered dangerous. So this is actually a false positive because you already looked it before. So you were calling it again without checking what it returns because you already checked before what it was returning. So and I also run it to GTK to see how much errors it would yield. And actually, there was a bunch of them. And there probably can be more if the static analyzer can be told to reason about some constructs of GTK. Because it has, it uses like glib, gmalloc, and stuff like that. So, but it's just good to find simple and just straightforward stuff, so you can just patch it quickly. So this is the amounts. We have like 33.4 bug types, but not of them are actually really bugs. Just the logic error stuff, and probably security issues.
Do you know if another toolkit are using Clang to do this static analyzer?
I don't know. I looked it up. I found some people that run it to try to run it on GIMP, but I didn't see the output. Also, GTK, I found some blogs saying, but people were not like just displaying the results.
I mean about the another graphical toolkits like Qt or EFL.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't look it up. I think EFL, at least the developers I know from EFL, they're quite, they like Clang and they use it in their projects. But I don't know if they use it like on build bots and stuff like that.
Okay, thank you.
So besides it, we have the sanitizers. The sanitizers are actually, for LVM, we also have it on GCC. It's just actually you can reason about memory access and stuff regarding addresses in during runtime. It's not a static analysis anymore, but it's the libraries that you can link together with our code that would work just a bit like Valgrind, for example, and would yield like dynamic found errors. So for example, we have the address sanitizer, which basically checks for out-of-bound access in any type of memory, and also for common free errors. Those types of error may not be sometimes found by the static analyzer, so the implementation on using it like dynamically can yield better results. So I didn't have like enough time to run to all those projects like I did with the static analyzer, but I ran into Glade and GEdit, and I couldn't find any runtime errors. Maybe I didn't explore those programs enough because I don't know like the corner cases that could yield like can probably reach strange code, but the look I did around didn't explode anything. And you also have the memory sanitizer, which is like just a, this is more like Valgrind actually. It will detect uninitialized reads. All of those tools, it will have like, it is lower your code down because it has like a runtime library and reason about your code and everything. And I just used J8 build to for a few projects and trying to link using the fsanitize equals memory, it would break. Just running regular make after it compiled the final executable, it will just run a few tests and will just like explode because glib has one of uninitialized reads and will just, I couldn't even like compile it using the GH build because it was some uninitialized errors in glib. So it's probably worth taking a look to see if it's some sort of false positive, I don't know, I don't believe, but just to see what happens and if it can be improved. But that's it, just questions?
Can your static analyzer detect a situation where you have a loop in your C code and the condition that is checked by the loop is never modified inside the loop? Detect endless loop that happens because, for example, you have a while loop and forget to assign anything to the variables mentioned in the conditional expression.
Sorry, could you repeat please again because I couldn't hear everything.
So suppose you have a while loop in your C code. For example, checks that one variable is greater than another between the parents. And then in the body of the loop, you forget to assign anything to any of those variables. So if it is true initially, it will be true forever and the loop will just loop forever. Will any of the static analyzer catch such thing?
Yeah, like for the most simple cases, it can tell you that that loop is probably running forever or something like that. If it's a simple case, it can do. But I think you can probably write code to try to break it, and you know, you can probably put some weird cases that we couldn't figure out. But for the simple ones, yes, it will give that warning.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just have to make this comment. I found it quite funny that you had to excuse the use of C++ at the beginning of your talk in this crowd, because when you then look into your results, it looks like half of them are macro expansions that are not doing proper type checking because of programming against glib using C. And if this program was done in C++, it would probably be type-checked and these errors would not be occurring. So, just a comment.
I guess this is more of a sort of administrative issue, but I actually found a bug in the Clang static analyzer. And I reported it, and the very annoying thing is it seems that LLVM or Clang are driven by Apple. So I just got this mysterious link saying clone to the internal Apple bug tracker. And as far as I know, it's still open with an unresolved status. I'm curious if like there's plans about getting it sort of away from the Apple infrastructure, because it's disappointing that when I report a bug, there's just this unknown Apple bug tracker that I have no idea what's going on internally about. So I don't really know how much Apple controls LLVM, or if you could give some words on that.
As a matter of fact, one fact is that most part of the developers I hired by Apple, so they probably do whatever it's probably easier for them to track. I don't know. I don't have anything. I don't know.
Hey, thank you for the talk. It was really nice. I wanted to ask, I know that it's not really trivial to do like CC equals C lang, except for GCC, and you know, build your code with C lang and not with GCC. Do you have a tool to help developers with this task?
I couldn't understand it. Can you repeat, please?
Okay, so again, imagine you have your code or your project and you are using GCC, and right now you want to use C lang as a compiler. And I know it's not really trivial to do this change. Do you have a tool to help developers with this?
No, actually Clang tries to support most part of what GCC does, including the command line. So you should expect that just changing the GCC driver for the Clang driver, it would work. It may not, but it works for most part of the cases. Unless you're implementing some, just like if your programming are using just a weird GNU extension that LLVM explicitly, Clang explicitly says it's not going to support, then you may run into problems. But regarding compiler flags, it tries to support everything that GCC supports. Just to make sure that you can just be in place, you can just replace it, and it should work. That's how we think that it should be.
Yeah, okay, because I know that some guys from Fedora tried to build whole distro with C lang, and they had to do some real hacks to make it happen, to like, I don't know, like 50% of packages to build them. So I just wanted to ask.
Okay, it's just like I told you, maybe there are some extensions in the code that Clang doesn't support, but like regarding just the compiler flags, most part of them are supported, or at least ignored if they don't make sense in how internally LLVM does stuff. So you couldn't just like have your compilation broken because some specific GCC flag is not there, you know, inside the compiler.
Okay. And regarding static analysis, I wanted to ask, it is run on IR code or on actual source code?
Sorry?
The static analysis, it is run on IR code, or
no? It's before. It's on the CAST form is during the front end.
Yeah.
So
okay. It's
because like in the IR, you already lost much information, and it's a lot more difficult to reason about. So it's a bit up there. It's before.
Okay. Thanks.
Hi. First off, I just wanted to say thanks for presenting this, but. So the libclang, like the C library accessing, it gives you access to C index and everything. I found it incredibly restricting compared to what you get from the traditional C++ libraries. Is there, one, like any work being done to enable more of that stuff? And is it going to be a little bit more convenient? Because like right now, if I want to get a string for a token that I'm going through, I get like a CX string, and then I have to go and get a C string from that. It's a really inconvenient C API.
Yeah, I heard about lots of complaints about that, but and it's also because it changes a lot, right?
So they don't have an ABI that they're trying to maintain?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
No.
So additionally,
I'm sure that if someone's just has like a just a proposal or a written one, probably they may consider it because it's something that it's for. Interest lots of people, right? But I have seen no works in that direction. Not they don't exist, but at least I'm not aware of it. But so I know it's an issue. Like I see people complaining about that for several years now.
Yeah, so if we're going to start tooling around Clang in terms of like building, you know, static analyzers and code checkers, would it behoove us to instead try to wrap the C++ libraries into GObject? Because it is really inconvenient to have to write all of this C++ code when we're mostly C programmers here.
Yeah, I think we'll probably be better just to try to standardize somehow the API, right? Like some ABI thing. I don't know. It's probably easier because you could just use it directly in C instead of wrapping it around. I don't
specifically
know.
It's not just like a C or C++ thing. It's like if we use GObject and wrap that, then all of a sudden we can use GIR from Python and whatnot to write fairly complex scripts very fast. But I don't know. Are you guys wrapping the C++ stuff into Python already? Is it worth us doing that?
Yeah, I just don't know. Like, I think there are both ways to solve it. I don't know which one is better because I haven't digged that in that place enough to tell you what I think would be better. I don't use the API myself, so I'm not aware like of all the troubles that it may lead to. But it's something that we can discuss later and take a look, and I can give you feedback if I have anything to contribute.
So yeah, I guess my comment then mostly is that actually maintaining a stable ABI would be hugely beneficial to us.
Yeah, of course. I agree.
You specifically mentioned the ARM backend. I'm curious about other non-x86 architectures like S390X. Do you know what the status of the level of support is on that backend?
I don't think it's stable enough. If it has, the last time I look. Oh.
In Fedora for their LLVM backends built for every architecture that both Fedora and RHEL support. So the caveats there are PowerPC 32 and S390, not S390X. But the 64-bit Power and S390 work. ARM 32 works. I expect that the ARM 64 stuff works. x86, AMD 64. What else is there in the world at this point? And it has more backends than that, actually. There's a backend for R600 and later Radeon GPUs. There's a backend for a thing called PTX, which is what people are using for sort of a common IR for OpenCL, and a couple of other architectures that we don't have Fedora ports for, like Hextile and some embedded chips. They're in varying stages of quality, and you find occasionally there's a code gen bug of, oh, you failed to serialize this instruction correctly, but they pretty much pass everything. 3.3 is far more consumable in this respect than 3.2 was. 3.2 was missing a lot. It was missing both IBM, was both Power and Z and System Z.
Any more questions? Any one of you, just feel free to talk if you have doubts about LVM and Clang and everything. Thanks.